Ah, yes. You, stripling. Is it Warburton? Come here.
Yeah, I mean, usually the Santas in the mall are human beings, but in this case, I will jump.
Today you get the bonus of Megatron as Santa Claus.
Well, that's a little odd, as long as I get my Christmas wishes. Let me climb up. Okay. All right, so this is what
from
I want.
Mighty Megatron's lap.
Right, so this is what I want. I want one of those drones. It's got to be about this big. Right, and it's got to be able to, like, turn corners, so the PID needs to be very good, so I also probably want those fat tire shark things.
Yeah. Laser beak or buzzsaw.
Yeah. Oh, that would be pretty awesome. Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing.
I think Soundwave can part with one of those.
Fantastic. That sounds like a great Christmas.
For a price, human, for a price. Yes.
Let me ask you this. Why are you the head of the Decepticons? I mean, first of all, why did you don't sound anything like Hugo Weaving, from what I understand. The
Hugo Weaving? You know, people always crap on Hugo Weaving, and I'm tired of it. It's not his fault he was cast in those first few Transformers movies. No one knew that Welker could really present me as well as he could.
I see. Okay, well, what about Starscream? Don't you think Starscream really should be running the Decepticons, or is that, you're not a thing that you...
Listen, Aniron, if you want me to blast you with my fusion cannon, you really don't have to push much harder. It's coming, buddy.
I just feel like you've been screwing up with Optimus Prime most of the time.
Let him feed the beast!
Coming from SoCal.
You're coming from the LBC.
The
right?
LBC in the in SoCal of the drama. Acronyms.
Yeah.
And D comes from NorCal.
It's pronounced Alameda.
Alameda.
Yeah.
Alameda, NorCal.
Alameda, California. California.
This is it, D. It's finally arrived. This is our Transformer Christmas Spectacular.
You just stepped in a bear trap. Listener, you just stepped in a big old Transformer-style bear trap. I'm sorry. We're not going to let go until we've transformed.
I think we should put a fair amount of warning on this because this is pretty nerdy, deep episode.
Oh, don't you think? Yeah. I mean, and it just sort of just follows the random, winsome ideas of people who have way too much time on their hand to devote to, sort of vehicles that transform into people. And
intellectual pursuit that is worth our time, though. However, giant robots turning into things, we should be focusing our brain on that all the time.
We spent more time as we're driving in traffic being like, if that car in front of me transformed,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be amazing.
But even
I probably shouldn't travel so close to its bumper. You know what I mean? It's safety. I'm thinking about safety now. I'm trying to help save lives.
Right. Keep a distance from a giant robot. But also, we're having my cousin and also writer, comic book creator, and PJ Montgomery is joining in us for our Transformer Jam.
He's sort of a big fish for us to pull in to the show.
It's great to have him. We're going to have another episode with him where he talks about indie comics. But just as somebody who I thought we could hang out on our level with Transformers and talk. And plus, he's got a British accent.
He does have a British accent, so it makes it sound really smart. And then also that we're funny. And I think both of those things are really good for the show and for you, the listener.
We need more Britishness on this show. I think it's just
Ours are pathetic. Ours are the ones that, sort of like, oh, hello. Hey, hello. We're sort of like all quirky from
from
Missouri. From Waiting for Guffman. Yeah.
So, Dee, before we go into our little interview and everything, what do you think? Should we do shit to talk about?
We should, but I want to take a moment here at the very beginning, Nye, this is a sort of an idea that I want to sort of post to anybody out there who's listening. I've noticed that people have been listening to the show, and I'm guessing that you have some sort of dorky, nerdy kind of a thing going on with your brain that's listening to our brains talk at you. And
I love this.
So it's old man Logan, right? Old Man Logan is
what's
is
Old Man this, Logan?
Who Old Man that? Logan came out in like 2004, 2005. It was a graphic novel about like the end of the Marvel.
Old Man Logan. Okay. Logan. All right.
So it's Old Man Wolverine, and it's in this post-apocalyptic world where like all the other heroes have been killed off, and he's just like an old man, sort of like Clint Eastwood-y, like living out on a range somewhere with a wife and a couple of kids.
Yeah.
And then the life sort of pulls him back in.
Yeah.
And Old Man Hawkeye brings him back in. And Old Man Hawkeye is blind. And like Old Man Logan, you know, he's sort of his healing factor's not so good. So you get that sort of like Dark Knight Returns thing, you know, that sort of like the old hero thing.
Yeah.
And they've done it a bunch of different ways. I think they've done a Peter Parker one. I've read that and they're fine. But what I wanted to do was, America, you're listening out there, what old man or old woman or old, you know, gender neutral superhero do you want to see get the old man treatment? Who do you want to see get the old man treatment? I personally have one caveat to this. It can't be Old Man Cyclops, because I've thought about it, and Old Man Cyclops just would be a nightmare, because part of the old man mythos is that the character has to break down to a certain point so that his powers or whatever have sort of busted his body. And Cyclops has the power to fire like laser blasts out of his face. And I just assume that when he gets to old man's, like his eyelids have been blown off. So all he does is just blast everything. So
yeah,
they've had to put him in a cave or something like that. So everybody's cool, but you can't do Cyclops. That's my one caveat.
Okay, well, can they do robots too? Can robots get old? I think that would be, and also more theme specific to this show.
And that's gender neutral. You know, no one's ever calling it old man or old woman. They'd just be like old robot.
Yeah. So if you
old robot,
who would you like to see old? Right? Is that sounds so decrepit and like old?
Well,
you know,
that's
old
where
man-ish.
We're going, Nye. You know,
I think that's where we are. especially you with those salty sideburns. You've got
salty
going
chops,
on.
Dude. I
you're like Doctor Strange, man. I love him.
And I also can do, you know, sort of a disappearing act, sort of in the third quarter.
So are we going to do shit to talk about? Is that going to be our thing? Or are we going to?
Anyway, everybody go do that. Yes, we can do shit to talk about. Today in America, we talk about the shit that's important to us. You're listening. We're talking about things that are kind of interesting or not. You be the judge.
Just random piles of shit that we've seen on the internet and feel like we need to talk about.
Just things that I'm desperately clicking on. I'm like, oh, no one's clicked on that yet. What meme is that?
So you got anything? I got a couple here. The first one that I'm going to bring up is Penny Marshall. It's everywhere.
Laverne DeFazio.
She's passed on.
75. I feel like 75 years old.
That is pretty young. She could have cut a little bit more, especially being so talented. I think my shout out is to Big. I thought that movie was fantastic and like world changing, right?
Yeah.
And then I want to sing the Laverne and Shirley open. I feel like.
Well, I just want to say that I think
we're
maybe.
Do it. Keep
love
us a chance
gonna tear us back now. Good on the track now.
We're gonna make our dreams
come true. And we'll do it our way. And then like Lenny and Squiggy, and like Lenny's like biting his hand.
Who would have thought that Michael McKean would have been, you know, kind of like a ninja that came out of that show?
Just like made some sort of rock star character actor career out of the next 35 years.
Anyways,
you know, I want to say this. I wonder if in the autopsy they'll find out that it was milk and Pepsi that killed her.
What? Why?
Come on, dude. Laverne and Shirley, she was always drinking milk and Pepsis to settle her stomach. Didn't you ever try one of those? That's the only time I ever tried one was when I was watching that fucking show. Fucking milk and Pepsi, dude. It's the worst thing that they've ever made is putting those two things together.
Oh, man,
I know there's a bartender. I know there's a bartender right now who's like, oh, no fucking way, man. I'm going to make a Laverne DeFazio and put brandy in it. And, I'm gonna, you know, it's like milk and Pepsi. Fuck you. Fuck that drink, okay?
For so more don't bartender fucking insider.
Hate fucking bartenders. No, I like bartenders. I fucking hate mixologists. There.
Oh, man. All right, number two on our shit to talk about, Carlton. You know how he has this dance?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's
so he's suing Fortnite because they're using it.
And not only Fortnite, he's also suing like, I think Madden. I think the Madden series has used it too. Whoever got that animation cycle, you know, they fucking, yeah.
They're saying it's his likeness. I mean, that is a story that will not win. You'll never win if you're trying to like get your shit back from the internet.
It sets. I mean, right?
Just but if it's something goes viral on the internet, it's going to be like just crazy. Like, and there's no way that you can say that's mine or that's me.
Right. Like the guy who like invented the floss, right? I mean, your kid doesn't floss yet. My kid's in the middle of this, the flossing.
Oh, no. In fact, I've been trying to floss more because we went to the dentist and I had an ass whooping. Right. They were just like,
no.
Do you want your kid to die of gingivitis?
You better not be doing a meta joke of what I'm telling you. You know what the floss is, right?
No.
It's a dance. Just Google flossing.
Oh, you mean with the kids going back and forth like
this? Yeah, where they sort of floss their crotch with like an imaginary towel or whatever they're doing.
Well, I thought you went like literally floss, but no, I
but that's genius. There you go.
Meta on this show.
just jammed a joke up on top of my joke. But yeah, that is a good point, especially when you're ancient like us and you like by the end of the day, you're like, you've brushed so many sets of teeth. You're like, I don't give a shit about anything anymore. And you just fall in bed. Don't fucking do that. Brush your fucking teeth. That's a quick dad advice. That's a quick motherfucking dad advice all up in this bitch.
I think that's pretty much it for the shit to talk about. But, wait.
America, there's more to talk about.
Hey, D, I think we're getting a phone call.
What?
Phone's ringing. Hang on a second.
Answer that.
Hello? This is Darren and I.
Yes, greetings! Aniron!
Oh, hey, it's
I
Chuck
call
Dave.
You! From the pit of despair, as it were.
Where are you right now? What's going on?
I've just got time, space, and dimension to do thy bidding, my master. I, Shockwave, am here at the Gallery Mall.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I sent you shopping because I needed some things taken
indeed,
care of.
Indeed. Now,
how's it going over there? Was it?
I've done a bit of shopping. I bought the Santa Claus knickers that you asked for. You didn't?
No.
Oh, that's Ravage. That's Ravage! Ha ha ha! Ah, that cheeky cat dog bastard! Anyway, well, that's no worry. What is it? I forgot. What did you want me to get for Darren?
He's actually here, so I'm not going to
talk. Shut up! Don't say anything! Have to speak in code or something.
You could just find something nice that is appropriate for him, and then.
I'm right here in front of Fredericks of Hollywood. That man is a slattern. I shall get him something that will perk his taut bits right the hell up.
There you go. That sounds perfect. Perfect. Well, that's about right for you, D, right?
I guess, man. How is it we have a Decepticon in a mall shopping?
Silence, you twit! No idea who you're dealing with.
Get out of here. Thank you very much for calling. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and Merry Christmas!
Dude, that guy, I mean, it's crazy. Why do we this guy on this show? All right, when we come back.
We're paying him non-union, right? I mean, we just like give him some money. We just don't give him much.
Why do we keep letting him back? Anyways, when we come back, we're going to be here with PJ Montgomery. He's going to talk nerdy with us. He's going to go deep in the Transformers.
He's going to take a deep dive with us off the Transformers board. Yeah, this is exciting.
This is it. I mean, you know Cliff Jumper and Wheeljack and Grimlock.
We're talking
and,
G1.
Yeah, we don't go to. So, anyways, enjoy, and we'll see you in a second. All right.
Many millions of years ago on the planet Cybertron, life existed, but not life as we know it today. Intelligent robots that could think and feel inhabited the cities. They were called Autobots and Decepticons, but the brutal Decepticons were driven by a single goal: total domination. They set out to destroy the peace-loving Autobots, and a war between the forces of good and evil raged across Cybertron.
My question is, why can't you use that voice for our podcast all the time?
I'm thinking about the next time I order out, I'm just going to just do that voice and just sort of play like I don't know what they're talking about. Just be like, I want a large pepperoni pizza.
My theory, that's your real voice and what we're hearing. That's the put-off. You know, that makes me way cooler than I deserve. So I thank you for that comment, but that just can't be me. No one can do that except
welcome back to our Transformers Christmas Spectacular, and welcome to the show, PJ Montgomery. And it's nice to have you on the show to talk about Transformers tonight.
Thank you for having me.
But not just Transformers. Now, I mean, we're doing like you've got rules, right? There's rules of the game that we're.
First of all, let's establish, PJ, if you're going to join us and talk about our most, you know,
sacred and holy,
like, sacred holy place. What is your expertise here on the Transformers? Like, when did you first discover them? And you know, can you keep up with nerds like us?
It is pretty stinky over here. There's like a lot of not showering that's happened.
I've been watching it since they first started showing season 2 of the Generation 1 cartoon over here. Well, 86, I think, when I was.
Wow.
I've got the DVD box set of the whole thing.
Yeah, no, that's good credentials. I think that gets you in.
I mean, the only reason I think Darren and I are friends is because he does voices of the Transformers.
Yeah, I would just follow him around with like, Warburton, Space Bridge has been deactivated for the last time.
And there is our relationship right there.
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty much it.
Sort of what did it.
No, I have kids about that, is that?
Like, it's just me cracking up at a computer with headphones on. I think
aren't you waiting though to like show them sort of like the G1, like at some point when it'll hold their interest? And
you know? I'm slightly scared that it's going to be just bad and they're not going to understand why I love it so much.
I have that feeling too, that they'll just be like, eh.
So PJ has come in to help us to talk about our Transformer G1 deep dive. So here's the rules of the road, gentlemen.
Yes, very important.
Very important. First off, no Bay talk. I don't want to talk about Michael Bay. I don't want to talk about how he ruined shit. That's it. We're done.
What's Michael's visual noise
referring to?
Right. Exactly. No, that's exactly it. We don't know what that is.
Okay. So the second one is no Optimus Prime death. It's easy for us to fall into that. And then, of course, the last one, let's try to stay G1. You know, I'm sure Dirge and the sweeps and all
Astro
that.
Astro Train and yeah.
Well, Astro Train's G1, isn't he?
I'm not sure. I feel like he's a triple changer. And
yeah, what's your ruling on that, PJ? You think Astro Train is a
G1? I think if it's in the original 4 seasons of the Transformers cartoon or the 86 movie, it's G1.
Okay. Right, so triple changers are okay.
Absolutely. You can blitzwing.
Aerial bots. Yeah. Okay, great. So the way we usually do this is we do 3 points. So we each bring points to the table and we go around our round. So D, you're going to kick us off tonight. What do you got? What is your first point in the G1 Transformers?
Well, so my first point, I'm really into the voices. And I think part of the reason why the cartoon was such a success was, I mean, sure, the artwork was great and the animation and the gimmick of transforming robots. But I think you had a real dearth of powerful voice actors who sort of really kind of gave all of this life. And I wanted to include voice actors that weren't Frank Welker and weren't Peter Cullen, and you know, and so what I came up, I wanted
and
to talk
Chris
about
fucking Latta. Chris Latta.
God, oh my God, dude, why did he have to die? he was amazing. I mean, like, you never had a more crazy ass villain than when you had Starscream, right? I mean, he's just genius. But I wanted to bring up sort of my other favorite people, like Scatman Carruthers, right? Right off the bat. And I feel like when in the first episode, when he introduces sort of all the Transformers and tells them to roll out, like the jazz, for want of a better word, that he puts on each of their names just like gives them this pop that they otherwise would not have had. And I think if the Transformers had come around and they didn't have Scatman Carruthers, like it would have been a different show. And then, of course, Casey Kasem, right?
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Crap. Did I lose you guys? All right.
No, I wanted to mention Casey Kasem, of course. I mean, he's all over. He's all over cartoons all over the place. But as Cliff Jumper, he sort of got a chance to butch himself up, you know, before Casey Kasem's this friendly guy or whatever. But if you watch the first few episodes of the Transformers, Cliff Jumper is the one who wants to kill all of the Decepticons.
And that's why I love Cliff Jumper.
Yeah, Cliff Jumper's just great, right? I mean, and I think that's probably why they whacked him at the beginning of
Oh yeah,
the first prime, as voiced by The Rock, right? The Dwayne Johnson was the voice of Cliff Jumper in the in when they rebooted for Prime.
And we're staying G1.
Oh, sorry. I see. I've already. It's like 5 minutes in. I've already
fucked up. All right.
And then one more voice. Corey Burton, the voice of Shockwave, because I fucking love Shockwave. Like, I mean, I've sort of modeled most of my life. That's why I've built a bridge that I monitor for a guy I call Megatron, because I've based my life basically off of
Don't
Shockwave.
Don't you think Shockwave is that guy from Tron? The like, he just – I know they sound the same. Or I don't know. Maybe it's just British people all sound the same to me.
And Jetfire's the guy from Robotech. You know, like they moonlight in the Transformers. They sort of show up and take an extra gig.
Yeah.
Side hustle.
PJ, what do you got for your first Transformer spectacular inclusion?
My first one actually is sort of related to the voices, but it is about Frank Welker. And it's, why didn't he do his Megatron voice when he voiced Galvatron in season 3?
Yes.
Because obviously Leonard Nimoy as Galvatron in the film, great.
In the movie.
But for years then, I didn't realize that I said, well, why didn't they just get Frank Welker back instead of that weird high-pitched voice? But it was Frank Welker. Mm-hmm. I assume they'd just blown the budget on using the touch in the Return of Optimus Prime and couldn't afford him for every episode. But
oh, zing. Good job. Yeah, also yeah. In the recent movie when Frank Welker did it, he tried to sound shitty. Like he was like,
Yeah.
Why not the original Megatron? What happened to that thing?
Just do that voice is a classic for a reason.
And if you listen to his reasoning and justification for why he made the voice that way, because he was like, I want to make a robot, and I want him to sound like he's sort of corrupted and just sort of, you know, just something's gone bad inside, but he's still a big guy. And then iterations pass down the road. Yeah, maybe he was just like, look, if you want original G1 Megatron, you're gonna have to give me a little extra scratch. Maybe it's all about the cheddar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, PJ. My first contribution is really about Starscream. Starscream has always been my favorite, and I also feel that there would not be a show without Starscream. He really is the heart of the show. I want you to think about the structure of this. This is basically good guys versus bad guys, right? Yep. Kind of boring. But you have on the bad guy side this like – second in command, or maybe he's not. Maybe he's just an asshole who wants to just take over. But he creates so much interesting content. And think about the stuff is that it's really that Starscream is the reason why there's a plot in the Transformers at all.
Well, I totally agree. I think, especially if you look at just the first few episodes, he has tried to overthrow Megatron. And I think he succeeded at some point. He's saying, I'm the leader of the Decepticons. Like, you're like 4 or 5 episodes into the whole thing, and he's already, you know, showing his cards. And it does. It's sort of in a way until Grimlock shows up for the Autobots, like there's very little pushback against what Optimus Prime wants or doesn't want. You know, Grimlock is sort of the first person to sort of show up and take a dump on that. But yeah, Starscream, without Starscream, yeah, you just got automatons.
Right. I mean, I think the Autobots are a hierarchical organization, right? You've got Optimus Prime who's in command. But the Decepticons are sort of a flat-level organization where – I mean, it's like – I guess Megatron tells Soundwave what to do. But then Starscream's just kind of in there with his own team.
Yeah.
You know?
Team of flyers, yeah.
Right. So you've got this internal conflict already that's all based on that. And I think that – if you could say that there is any plot in this show, it stems from that conflict.
I love Starscream simply because when he does finally take control, he gets a crown and a cape.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
He's a robot. Who needs a cape?
Yeah. it's true. I mean, it is sort of, I mean, but he is sort of a little pomp and circumstantial, right? He wants, you know, he wants a little bit of a show.
Yeah, and Starscream is voiced by the great Chris Latta, who's the most singularly awesome voice, I believe, on that show.
The original voice of Waylon Smithers on the Simpsons, but his death sort of precluded him from doing any more.
That is also true.
I was always sad that Starscream didn't show up in the episode Only Human, where Cobra Commander shows up.
Oh, I would have loved to
have those two meet.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, or just like have like a show where Chris Latta just does all the characters.
Yeah, he just does all the characters and just talks to himself.
Do you want coffee? No, I don't want creamer.
It's just like Starscream and Cobra Commander like arguing over what they're going to put in their coffee. Yeah.
Two sugars and one cream.
Just like high level screaming for 5 minutes straight, right? It's just like, oh, God. All right. Well, Dee, what do you got for your second point here on your Transformers?
Well, you know, you sort of grabbed that whole Starscream versus Megatron thing. And I think that was sort of one of my points that, but that's sort of gone. But another thing I wanted to talk about was just, especially in the first gen, when it came out, what really struck me about it was that it was cars versus planes. I think that was sort of, and until Jetfire, who is for the show Skyfire, because of just, I don't know, man, the whole like Robotech.
Well, minor contention on that. Like, so the reason why they put the Decepticons together, weren't they two sets of toys? You had the kind of the tabletop stuff, which was a gun. I mean, like, first of all, let's point out the fact that they would never sell a gun today.
Right? No way, dude. Yeah. Especially also, one that looked like a gun. Yeah.
And then you had Shockwave, not Shockwave, Soundwave, I'm sorry. Right. So you had like these tabletop stuff, and then you had the jets.
Yeah.
And then you had all cars. I mean, obviously there was enough car Transformers to fill an entire side. So that was probably the categorizational difference of the two.
You're totally right. But like, and when you watch even in the first four episodes or so, like the Autobots are flying. Like they can just fly if they're just in robot mode.
Then they forget.
But, yeah. Yeah. And then it's a big deal when Optimus Prime like grabs Sideswipe's jetpack at some point to sort of take out, you know, the Decepticons are escaping. And
right. Go ahead.
Oh, I just that, I mean, just very in the very beginning, the idea, I think, and I think it's with all good protagonal antagonal thing is that the antagonists are more powerful than the good guys, you know, than the protagonists. Like, they have to be by its very nature.
I don't get how the Autobots are all within driving distance. I mean, don't you think that the Decepticons would, like, fly to somewhere, some other energy base that there is something that's out of the range of a 65-mile-an-hour drive?
Yeah, of a couple of Nissan 280ZXs and a big red truck. Yeah. Yeah, you'd think they could get away and pull off whatever scheme that they had.
Yeah. So what are we on the second point? PJ, what's your second point? Do you have
The Megatron shouldn't be leading the Decepticons because there is a far more competent Transformer there, and if he was running the show, the Decepticons would have taken over the universe years ago. And that's Soundwave. Guy does not get enough props.
No, he does not. He does not. This is an excellent point.
So tell us why, PJ. What do you think?
Everything Soundwave is asked to do, he accomplishes. He never complains about it. He just gets on and gets it done. And he can turn into a tape player, so everyone underestimates him.
Yeah, but can he strategize? Does he have vision? Can he find Energon from, like, volcanoes in a timely manner?
He actually makes Energon. Like, he makes the containers that Energon go into.
Yeah, I will give you that he is a badass, but I think that is part of what makes... Megatron is the strategist and Soundwave is the executor.
But I think that's because Soundwave doesn't want to lead. And he just sort of lets Megatron get on and goes, yeah, fine, I'll do that. And, you know,
but no one would know what he's saying either, right? I mean, like, you're listening to a harpsichord tell you what to do.
he's sort of always just like, he's just sort of he's got like names for operations for his little, cassette tapes and stuff like that, but he's not a conversationalist, you're right.
Yeah, like the ones we don't see, Rumble, Eject, Operation Bedtime, you know, it's...
Right.
Operation, brush your teeth. Yeah, that's
not... Just, like when he's not hanging out with the rest of the Decepticons, they're at home just writing operations.
I think Soundwave hates the other Decepticons, all of them. He can't be an Autobot, so he kind of has to be a Decepticon. And yeah, I think that guy.
Wait, you think he hates Megatron? I think he's very loyal to Megatron.
He's loyal, but
he's like the first person that Megatron needs to talk to in general. Like he's like Megatron would suck without Soundwave. He wouldn't be able to get shit done. He has Soundwave has all of his spying bits. Like he's got Laserbeak and he's got Ravage who do a lot of the work.
Yeah.
It always feels to me like Megatron says, I've got this idea. Send Laserbeak out to look at this. Laserbeak goes, Laserbeak comes back, and Soundwave goes, so here's what Laserbeak's found. And then Megatron goes, well, now here's my idea. And I think silently Soundwave's going, yeah, I already thought of that.
You're right. I mean, he is doing all the recon and all the research. He's probably like...
He does the calculations. He does,
he does all the calculations.
Yeah.
So, but, of all the Decepticons, Soundwave is the one whose face is closest to their logo.
Oh, yeah. That is true, too.
So it's not Starscream who's the heart of the Decepticons. It's Soundwave who's the heart of the Decepticons. Really.
Starscream's the fun of the Decepticons.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I got you.
He's the maniac right arm that just pulls the trigger and pulls the trigger, you know.
Like, basically, what I'm saying is I want a buddy movie of Generation One Soundwave and Starscream just doing
shit. Oh, my God.
Oh, the Odd Couple.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The other one I think is interesting is does Soundwave then hate Shockwave because they're both kind of like Megatron
and his Wave. They're from the Wave family. They're brothers, probably, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta go with it. Yeah, okay. So my second point is about Cybertron. And the question is like what the fuck can't they just attack? Like can't Megatron just say to Shockwave, hey, just send out a whole bunch of army and we're going to wipe out the rest of the – and over the space bridge, they just send, you know, an army and took over the world. Like what is left on – isn't it a planet full of robots?
That's a good point. I think part of being a Decepticon is that you really want to subjugate the Autobots. It's not about murdering them, right? You need them to come back and do the work for you. That's a good point.
I think the idea for the Decepticons is that they move to the Earth to try to steal all of our energy.
Right.
Right. So if the Autobots are in the way and you want to steal all the energy, why don't you just radio to a giant planet that you came from that's full of presumably other robots that will come down? So
you've presumed that it's full of robots. I mean, if you go from the crawl in the beginning, they've wasted that planet. So anybody there is probably just like, you know, void of energy,
and then
they're just sort of wrecked.
It's pretty much just Shockwave sitting there for millions of years, isn't it? After the crash land on Earth,
and as they're sending resources back, they have the ability maybe to like make more robots. But yeah, they might that there's sort of a last ditch effort, right, to go to Earth and sort of pull.
I feel like the whole Cybertron was very subtle, like fuzzy. Like they're robots that transformed, but they it's only when they came to Earth that they adapted it to.
It looks enough like the Death Star. I think that's all they needed. They were just like, it sort of looks like the Death Star. Just pop it in there. The robot
has big pits in it too. Like,
yeah,
big hot pits.
Yeah.
Like, can't really go for a walk on the surface of Cybertron very well.
Well, if you have metal boot feet, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, D, what do you got for your final point?
I was just I was thinking about Victor Caroli, the guy who's the narrator. I mean, this is clearly on my mind, but I just thinking about that guy and just sort of how, if you IMDb that dude, he doesn't have a whole lot to his name. Like, I'm surprised that a guy like that wouldn't have more work after this, because. Like he does all of these episodes. He doesn't do any of the voices of any of the Autobots or Decepticons. This is
that's all he does. Maybe that. I mean, he's typecast.
They just hire him for like sort of, you know, tough guy, vaguely creepy, sort of Terminator voice or something.
Well, I mean, he could like maybe do Don Pardo's job on Jeopardy or something, right? Like,
you've guessed incorrectly, and now. You have been penalized. The winner today is Ken Jennings. Yeah, no,
is he still working? I guess. I mean, that is kind of a bummer. It is true. It is a very recognizable, hilarious voice, but maybe he doesn't have a range. Maybe that's all he can do.
That's all he's got.
But that would be a good voice for a Decepticon. But then I guess we'd be wondering why the Decepticon was narrating everything.
Right, you'd know that they'd won eventually. This is just sort of like their history lesson. This is how they crushed the Autobots finally.
I got one, D. What about the narrator from the Super Friends?
The narrator. That would be great. Like they're
meanwhile in the kitchen.
They were in the same voiceover class together, and like they.
There's not enough milk.
I've told you 1,000 times. If you leave the milk open and leave it in the refrigerator one more time, I'm looking for a new baby. Later, I will bring more milk. Yeah, I could see that working. I feel like that's got
PJ, Darren and I were talking about Aquaman. That's why it's on the mind.
Oh, yeah. Aquaman's over there.
Do you have anything else to round us up, PJ? Or that you said you only had a couple of points, right?
I've actually got two very small points.
All right, great.
One is Unicron and how his actual origin from the TV show is rubbish. Because it's revealed in an
episode. Well, let's go into that a little bit for our listeners. So what is from the TV show?
There's an episode late in the third season, Call of the Primitives, where we meet Unicron's creator, who is this pathetic, tiny little man who sent out Unicron, the sequel, essentially, called Tornadron, into the universe to try and start devouring life. And Grimlock defeats him and Tornadron by pressing a reverse switch. But in that, it flashes back to him creating Unicron. And it's just like this huge thing was just created by this tiny little guy on some rock for no reason.
Kind of a bullshit way. Yeah, exactly.
But so they needed to fart out an episode, right? So they were just like, yeah, fine, do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, isn't that how most of the robots are coming? This guy's Unicron. And he came about from this guy. Yeah, I mean, okay, what's your second point then?
So the other one is, and this is technically not from the cartoon, but IDW at the moment are putting out a crossover comic where the Generation 1 Transformers are meeting Star Trek, the animated series.
Oh.
And
perfect.
The one thing that I wanted to happen when I heard about that crossover happened at the end of the third season. Ratchet got control of the Starship Enterprise and turned it into a Transformer being controlled by James T. Kirk.
Oh my God!
Transformed into,
so he's like a headmaster robot. Kind of thing, because he is a headmaster.
It's
so. Do you see the Enterprise transforming?
It's just turned into a giant robot called Tiberius Maximus.
Oh, of course it is.
It's amazing.
Wow. That's kind of like a mic drop.
I was so excited about that. I just pulled my headphones out. That's nuts.
It is amazing.
Tiberius Maximus. Oh my God!
And
so, what is this? This is a crossover Transformers Star Trek animated series, like the Filmation Star Trek.
Yeah, that's what movie. That's what I was going to ask. It's the Filmation.
Yeah, so it's being drawn in that style. It's got characters like Lieutenant Moress and Lieutenant Arryx from that show in,
right?
And then meeting the G1 Transformers, all drawn in the 80s style as well. And we're set up for a fight between the Enterprise and Trypticon in the next issue, and I can't wait.
Wow. I mean, that should be animated, like in the Filmation style.
Oh my God, that would be so great.
Right, where they lean in from the side and they say, you know.
Well, just tons of recycled animation sequences of just them running down corridors and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So just a couple of quick points that I want to make here is the humans of the G1 show, Spike, Sparkplug, and then
Chip.
Dr.
Don't forget Chip.
Chip?
Chip. Oh, the guy he's the little kid in the wheelchair who takes over Prowl.
And then there's also the Dr. Theopolis. That's
Dr. Akaville. That's I think that's.
Isn't that like the one that Starscream just totally fucks up? And he's like, "You can't send me back because I'm in a wheelchair." Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got like half a metal face. Yeah.
Right, but for a robot show, I thought it was interesting that we needed like essentially major human characters to identify
that with. Are named and after vehicle parts or
well, until you get to the third series when it's just really Daniel Spike's son,
right?
But even he's not in it that much, and that I think is when the show started to get weird as well. In a really
good it really did fly off the rails at that point. I think that it was like they really quickly got to let's add as much stuff to it as possible. They didn't stay with the character. They started combining them. There was the aerial bots and the Constructicons and then the Dinobots. I mean, the Insecticons and the Dinobots were a great first step, but they informed the future end, right? I mean, they just started evolving way too quickly.
Well, and more, it's just a more and more crowded shots with you know, toys that they wanted to sell that would be just being jammed in front of, you know, that are on there for not much of a reason. You know, I mean, even with the first season, I mean, they struggle to find enough stuff for everybody to do. Mm. And then when, you know, like Perceptor shows up, well, Wheeljack's sort of out of a job because he's like, he just goes to becoming more of a mechanic. And he's like the smart guy. And he like does a bunch of, you know, like repairs and stuff like that. But it's like,
right.
But Perceptor shows up and then he's like the big brain, and like Ratchet and Wheeljack sort of become, you know, more focused on, you know, repairs, you know, like,
right.
They and don't then get die. Much fun.
And then die. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just like, they're just adding, they keep adding to it as opposed to, you know, trying to figure out, you know, I mean, it would have been great if Optimus Prime had to struggle with, like, you know, his father issues or something.
Well,
you know?
I think and then they know, have to
problem.
The reckoning that happened. I don't think they were, you know, right. I don't think they were ready for a sort of backlash after the movie. And so when the series picks up after the movie, you know, it starts off with Unicron's head floating out there for the opening credits. And, you know, like you have, they're trying so hard to sort of go with these new guys that, you know, they have to sort of, you know, by adding more, right? That's better, right? Isn't it better if there's more Transformers than just like the people that you knew from before?
Yeah.
I think that's sort of what they're wrestling with that.
Yeah, but then you've got the name Rodimus Prime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, who was the guy who came up with that one?
Yeah. And is Judd Nelson, does Judd Nelson keep going in the role, or does somebody else pick it?
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also killed the Micro Machine guy's career.
Oh, yeah.
That guy was on fire for
Blur.
Like, yeah. But he did a Transformer movie, and then I think that's it. Like, or maybe he just cashed out his Micro Machine check and is living in the Bahamas somewhere.
Yeah, he's just like, look, I live in Cahuenga Pass. I don't leave my house. I just have food just brought to me and shit. I don't need to do anything else. Maybe.
Right. Amazon Prime it. Yep. Well, guys, on our holiday spectacular, let's end up by saying, what is our favorite character and why? And then if you've got any holiday wishes to you and yours, let's lay that down.
Okay.
PJ?
Oh, favorite character is... Oh, it's a cliche, but it's Optimus Prime. I can't help it. I love the big guy. He's, you know, he's a hero. Yeah. I like a hero, and he transforms into a big ass truck, and he'll save me from Megatron if I need it. So it's Prime. I can't help it.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
I think everyone has to say that Prime is their favorite because, like, that's sort of our TV robot animated truck dad. You know, like that's who else we were looking to for guidance. I'm gonna go. Because I was trying to pick out voice actors who were not Welker and Peter Cullen. So I picked Mirage, and then I looked, and that's Frank Welker. Like,
he does this voice that's Mirage, and he has the, you know, he's invisible.
And I always thought
who does Ironhide?
Ironhide's Cullen.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course.
Prime, we've got a problem that only you can handle.
Perfect. Yeah, but Mirage, I thought was kind of fun just because he got to do some shady shit. And like, he was sort of, you know, like in various iterations of Mirage on through, like there was always a, whose side is he on kind of an aspect. And like, there weren't that many people on the Autobots who
get out of here. Your favorite Transformer is Mirage.
I'm trying to make him that because Optimus Prime is my favorite, but I'm trying to step out and just like find somebody else I can celebrate. And I was like, Mirage. And then I realized I was like, Frank Welker fucking voices him. And I was like, fuck, I mean, there's just no getting away from that guy.
There is an easy answer because if I was told to not use Prime, it would be Cup.
Oh, sweet. Cup is pretty cool.
What? Why? Because he's just like the old one?
Yeah, he's a grouchy old man who tells stories that don't go anywhere. And as I get older and become that, I really empathize.
And it's weird, PJ, you're on a show featuring two old men who tell stories that go nowhere.
Of course, mine is Starscream. I've already done that. And
oh, really? What a shock.
Yeah, what a shock. And PJ, what are you going to do for your Christmas? Time with family?
I am spending my Christmas with the in-laws for the first time.
Ooh. Very exciting. And Dee, what about yourself?
You know, I think I'm just going to be here. And I'm just going to wait for the next podcast. Christmas means nothing to me. I'm just going to wait here. Eager on bended knee, waiting for the next time I can
just sitting playing
hurl insults into the exactly. I'm just gonna play Dota. That's all bullshit. It's all Dota, dude.
Doing the Transformers narrator voice.
Yeah, yep. That's how people know me on Dota. Yeah.
Well, this has been our Transformers Christmas Spectacular. PJ, we're going to have you back in a couple of weeks to talk about indie comics.
Yeah.
So we're going to get deep into all of your work there. But in the meantime, where can people
find you?
I am on Twitter at PJ Montgomery. I'm on Instagram as well, but I can't remember what I am on there because PJ Montgomery was taken. So, you know.
And you do every once in a while hit the Transformer world. So
yes,
you can follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks all, guys, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Happy holidays, everybody. We'll see you next time.
So we just really want to firmly establish that we don't hate Hugo Weaving, even though...
No, man, he's a fucking smith, dude. You don't... I mean, he'll jump right through the monitor and, like, grab your face, Matrix style, you know?
Yeah, like, but in terms of, like, Megatron, he was poorly cast. But it's not his fault.
He's poorly cast. I think, yeah, it was just his fault that he was popular at the time, and they just decided they didn't want to give Frank Welker a job. I don't know why.
Or maybe just Michael Bay makes really bad creative decisions. I think Michael Bay makes very large corporate decisions.
Yeah.
Anyways, welcome back. Look at that. We broke through. We talked about Michael Bay. That was our chat with PJ. I got to say, man, that was pretty deep.
It was a deep, nerdy. Yeah. I mean, it was gookie. Yeah.
So if it's up your alley, then there you go. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Transformer.
Merry Christmas. People. There's the gift of looking at the backwards lens of like 1984.
Right. You know? Right. So this has been our Christmas episode. Thank you so much for listening. Please, if you've got something you want to say, if you've got a problem with the show or a complaint, please write Darren at Darren@Nye@gmail. And if you
include Merry Christmas in the title.
And if you love something and you think it's great, please write Nye@DarrenandNye@gmail.com.
I think you best know that like flipping that's going to get your best reply, because if you bring any sort of problems to Nye, he can actually fix them. Whereas I'll just be like, yeah,
exactly. Our music is bundled by the very lovely Jen Remington at Hey Dog.
And, Hey Dog, D-O-double-G. That's two G's in that Hey Dog.
And our website is darrenandnye.com. But please, you know, subscribe to us on iTunes and all those wonderful places.
Give us a like, click on the Facebook.
Like it or review us or say something.
It, really.
They yeah, because have we are figuring out how to maximize the fun on our Tuesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently this beer is not doing enough.
It does pretty good by itself, but when you add a podcast to it,
boom, great things happen. Day. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. I want to say one thing is I've been using Firecast is what it is. Fireside.fm to do our podcast. And I really like the simplicity of it and how easy it is. Considering like when we were doing Very Dead Ideas, how I was using WordPress and I was doing all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I had so many things, and this is just like so easy. We can focus on, you know, the bullshit that we do.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what it's all about. It's a way to hone in on the BS.
On the BS.
Yeah.
So hold your BS tight this holiday season.
Hold your BS tight. Yeah. And that's Bay City Roller. That's just BSR. In city, if you spell it with an S, doesn't matter. Let's just do it.
We will be back next week, just you and me rolling solo. But hey, I think we need to do that. And
I think that's going to be good. We'll be closing. We'll be recording sometime after the holidays because I think I'm going to be trapped under a bottle of bourbon at some point in there.
Right.
And, you know,
well, maybe you can be bench pressing your bourbon bottle while we do like a
my New Year's resolution to
a year's retrospective of like
of 2018, the year in review.
Talk about New Year's resolutions and how bullshit they were. That was the last show, right?
I think we should probably just do that again.
Bring that again. Yeah, that seemed to work. There you go. As we recycle our content, please join us.
Will
you?
Yeah, we're just gonna grab something from the past and just drag it out and sort of dust it off because we're too lazy to do fucking else.
You got to do something Transformer as we go out. What are you like? Or whatever. You know. Perfect. I love it. All right.